I'm going to be reading from the book of 1 Corinthians. And knowing that it is your custom to stand in honor of the Word of God, I invite you to do so. We're going to stand and read together out loud, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to read verse 4 together. I'm asking you to read it with me if you can. I'm sure it will be projected. If you have a Bible, certainly join us there. Are you ready? Let's read together. And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. It is in my heart today to preach from this verse and isolate the concept of the spiritual rock. And I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning and for you, our spiritual rock. I'm grateful that God is a God of provision, that our God knows how and when to provide everything we need. Our God is the great provider. Praise God. Praise God. We worship you, Lord. Let's pray together over the preaching of the word of the Lord today. Let's ask the Lord individually and corporately to do a work in every heart. Lord Jesus, we're standing in awe of your great presence here this morning. It's always an honor to be in your house with your people. Every guest, every saint of God that is this home church, I'm praying for a special invitation. A special invitation to the waters of restoration this morning. And we're going to give you praise. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. And you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Oh, what a great touch of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Ministry of Worship, for helping to bring us into the presence of God. As it is written, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. We have done that today. And now we're not in through our gates. We're into through his gates. And now we're not into our courts, but we're into his court. And oh, it's great to know his name. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. When you men took off a few moments ago and made a lap around this sanctuary, I envisioned you running through the gates into the house of the Lord. I think there's an open gate here this morning. The gate of praise and worship is certainly open. I want to preach for a little bit today on our spiritual rock. Rocks, natural rocks, geologists have divided them into three kinds or types of rocks, depending on how they are formed. You have the igneous rocks that are the most solid and deepest. It's lava that has fomented and a lava that has set. Then you have sedimentary, of course, and then metamorphic. And these three rocks are the only rocks that seem to matter in the geological world. And we haven't come here today to talk about those. Those are not on my mind. But I wanted you to know you're sitting in a building that's probably founded on some kind of rock. It just wouldn't hold up if it weren't the case, because you got to be built something that's going to endure, something that is going to last and stand the test of time and storms and so forth, is going to have to be founded upon a rock, something solid. And I bring to you a message today of another kind of rock. It is not a natural rock. It is not a physical rock. But rather, as described by the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church, he said, it is a spiritual rock. Now, when we think of the word spiritual, Sometimes we think of spooky things, you know. Spiritual, the thing that we can't really control. It's invisible. It's not manipulated by the hands of men. And all of those are the case. But spiritual in the biblical sense, pneumatikos, is the concept of all of the invisible parts of a person. See, we're a spirit, we're a soul, and we're a body. We don't have a soul, we are a soul. And the spirit of a person is primarily the thought life, the intentions of the heart. The mind is another concept that superintends even that. It's the composite of all of this. And so the spirit, the spiritual rock, and Jesus Christ is in this room today. Well, someone may be saying, well, prove it to me. Where is he? Well, he's here in spirit. I want to pause on the notes here for a moment and just give a word of encouragement to saints of God who have been running this race for a long time. Very, very soon, we believe, there's going to be a sound of a trumpet that's going to sound in the heavens. And when that sound is given out, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. We're going to be changed and be caught up together in the clouds with him. Then we're going to see his physical body. But right now in this room, he is here in the spirit. You can't find him with just your hands. You can't find him with just your mind. You got to find him with your heart. He's in the room. Jesus is in this house. In fact, he dwells in our hearts by faith through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. His imparted presence into our lives. The Holy Spirit, perhaps you may be a guest here today. I don't know everyone, but you may be here today and having been told or taught that God represents himself in three persons, three agencies or entities. Our Bible teaches us that God is one and his personhood is one. Oh, Did you just feel me scratch at a rock that we're built on there just a little bit? Did you feel something straighten your spine just a little bit? Because something happens underneath us when we say God is not three or multiplicity or polygod. No, God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. If you know him to be one, why don't you thank him for the revelation that he is one? And we're not bashing people. We're not even bashing anything. We're just standing on the rock that, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And so when you get moving in things and the life we're living starts to rock our life a little bit. It is so powerful to take a moment, square our shoulders, and just feel the strength that's underneath us. You see, we're not walking through life built on shifting sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I'm remembering storms that came by and blew on my house, blew on my life. And were it not for the sure foundation that I have. I'm so glad to report to you, the Lord is my rock. I joined the psalmist in Psalm 18 in verse number 2. Brother Forgain.
Psalms 18 and verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower.
If you haven't yet, you're going to sing that song someday. But it'll be after the winds have blown on you. It'll be after life has done some things your way. But you're going to be able to square your shoulder. You're going to be able to lift your heart. And you're going to say, the Lord, I have learned He is my rock. I felt like I was supposed to preach to somebody here today that you're in a storm or you're about to go into one. You got to be reminded. You can't do it on your own. You can't fix it all the time. You got to have a rock. You got to have something to stand on. He's not only my rock, He is my fortress. Somebody shout defense. That's right. He's my defense. There's times when you don't have anything to secure what is precious to you, except the Lord steps in and He becomes a fortress around you, a mighty castle, one rendering says. He has got you hedged in. He's got you protected. My God is a rock. My God is a deliverer. My God is my strength. I'm trusting Him today. I don't know what's coming down the pike of society and life, but I know this. My God is the one that I'm trusting. I not only trust in Him, but I trust Him. Psalm 62 and 7. Listen to the psalmist as he sings another psalm.
In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God.
You see, when my strength begins to weaken underneath the blows of the unexpected sickness or the infirmity that seems to be domineering my faith and my life, I can feel a rock underneath me that secures my strength, that brings my strength back online. Hallelujah. Oh, oh, I feel something moving in the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody walked in here with the weakness of humanity and frailty of humanity upon you. But before you leave this sanctuary, if not at this moment, you're going to feel something come under you and support and secure and strengthen you, because God is our rock of strength. 94:22, he sings again.
But the Lord is my defense.
My defense.
And my God is the rock of my refuge.
In fact, when I run to the fortress, when I run into the refuge, He's the very rock of my refuge. You see, the devil can't get to you. Don't you believe it? Satan doesn't have unrestrained access to you. If there is an attack from the enemy on your life, it's because God is trusting you with a testimony on the way. God is the refuge and the rock of my refuge. That's right. That's right. You see, many of us are not in this room this morning with just easy breezy lives. We've walked through some things in life. We've felt the fears of life. We felt the attacks of life and of the adversary. But I've come to remind Experienced Church Springfield today that our spiritual rock is with us. Oh, we love it when he goes before us and clears the path. But as it is written in the text, that rock that followed them was Christ. Hallelujah. Not a pre-incarnate Christ. We totally believe that Jesus Christ is of the fruit of the womb of the woman. He did not exist bodily before Mary made him. Oh, I know what I'm dealing with right now. Oh, social media is full of it. But I've come to declare to you that God is one. And before anybody that believes Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh is Antichrist. I'm saying that for the benefit of the saints of God. If that didn't make sense to you, you just stay with it. But I'm telling you, John said it, and I'll say it in the 21st century. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. That's right. He was made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Jesus Christ appeared in the crib for the very first time upon human history. Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. But that rock was a kind of similitude. It was a shadow of things to come. A kind of type of Jesus Christ, who is not only the captain leading the way of salvation. He's not only grace and mercy coming in behind, but he's the great succorer and provider that's following us on this journey of life. Trying to reach to somebody this morning. I've felt this on the way over today that somebody would be here that is kind of gotten a little cynical, or maybe, let me use a softer word, numb, just numb to the revelation that he's got you. It's not just a 21st century axiom. This thing is so old, he's got you. All right, let me not butcher the King's English. He has you. He's the rock under your feet. He's the banner of love over you. On your left hand and on your right hand, going before you and coming behind you, our God has you covered. Would everybody in the building that has hands to clap, would you consider clapping your hands right now to the one that has you covered? He has you. He has you. Man, he has you. You see, you've got a great-great-grandmother that's been praying for you. Before she passed away, she was praying for you, and those prayers never end. I never met my great-grandmother, Titus. I never met her. But the reports that came from the Boot Hill of Missouri told me she was a praying woman. She was continually at the house of God as often as possible praying, seeking God for not only the present but for the future. And I'm standing here today, very likely, I know the prayers of my maternal grandmother. But even before then, those who prayed for me, I hope you're translating it to your own life. You may not recognize it, but somewhere back there, somebody was praying for us. Oh, hallelujah. Did you know that they sang about it this morning, that angels are in every corner? Did you catch that?
That's right. He said he sends his angels to minister to those who shall become the heirs of salvation. I believe right now in this room, there is an innumerable company of angels. You can't manipulate them. You can't even locate them. But they're here right now. And in just an instant of time, can step through the veil and touch your life. Because somebody was praying, Lord, you're our rock. Oh, you're our rock. During these times of uncertainty, who knows what the stock market's going to do tomorrow? Anybody? No takers. You're smart. Who knows what politics is going to do tomorrow? Who knows what society, what foundation society has built itself upon? The shifting sands of popular opinion. Not me. I want a solid rock. I want a solid foundation. Not me. I want a solid foundation. And I believe with everything in me that I have found Jesus, the rock of my salvation. He's a sure strength. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25.
Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and therein descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock.
I hope your thoughts are engaged right now, remembering every time it was tested, but look where you are this morning. You're back in the house of the Lord, the very house that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. You know why these people are on their feet? Because there is an inspiration knowing, there is an expectation knowing, my house is built upon his house. Jesus said these sayings of mine. We would say the entirety of the Word of God, but particularly the Sermon on the Mount for context, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But we would take it and enlarge it. We would say the entire Word of God. Is there an amen in somebody's heart right now? Oh, why don't we say it together? 1, 2, 3. Amen, so be it. This is the words that we build our house upon. And the house of life upon. Somebody may be here for the first time, and you're trying to figure out what is this, what is religion. Do you know that that's the case these days? Parents didn't raise their children in the church, in churches, and so they don't really know what to expect when they walk through the doors. I'm thankful that the Experience Church Springfield accounts for that in all of your systems and workings, that you account for those precious souls that walk through those doors not knowing what is next, what is this all about. And then you do what the sister said. You wrap your arms of love around their life, and you say it doesn't matter if you don't know what's happening right now. Just get in here with us. Hallelujah. Oh, that's what the church did. Oh, praise God. That's what the church did for me. I didn't understand it all, but somebody said, hey, we love you. Keep coming. Keep coming. And before I knew it, God had delivered me from alcoholism. God had delivered me from all the vices of my life. I'm 39 years sober. You've come too late to tell me. You've come too late to try to explain to me that there's another way. I didn't find 12 steps. I found one step. I repented. I was water baptized in the name of Jesus, and I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I haven't had anything since that night. Oh, see, that's my testimony. But there's others. There's a house full. I thank God. I hope there's some young people here this morning and even midlifers that you don't know what it tastes like. You don't know what it is like to be intoxicated and under the influence of narcotics and drugs. I hope that's the case. You have the greater testimony in my estimation. But I will tell you this, God not only is able to keep you, He's also able to redeem us. I'm off notes a little bit, but I feel like somebody needed to know there's a way out today. It may look like a way out of that, but really it's a way in. It's a way in. All it takes is exercising faith. I'll never forget when the fellas I was with broke open the intoxicants. And they said, "Steve, here's you one." Well, I had never had anything like that. But I took them at their word. And I took a drink based on their testimony. Somebody here today could take a drink of water from the spiritual rock based on my testimony. I'll say the 5 hours of driving today was going to be worth it. My God. I'll say if somebody goes down in the precious and marvelous name of Jesus Christ today, I want you to know it'll be worth everything, every mile, to know that somebody got a drink, that somebody took a drink of living water. How many will worship the Lord with me right now? I feel like there's about 25 joining me right now, maybe more, that are just saying, "God, I thank you for the day I took a drink. I thank you for the moment you filled me up with water." That is spiritual water. Deuteronomy 8:15. Listen to the word of the Lord.
"Hold thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock off land."
Ask a geologist about that. Anybody ever been to Big Spring over around Van Buren? Somebody said, "That's water flowing out of a rock." Well, they tried to find where it was sourced in, because it was this one that we're talking about here in Deuteronomy was a freestanding rock. It was not Mount Horeb. It was a freestanding rock. It was a rock isolated from other rocks. It was a one and only rock. It was a rock all by itself. We still don't know how it followed the children of Israel for 40 years through the desert. They didn't pick it up. It was too heavy. Oh, we just know that every time they needed water and they looked there was a rock. And out of that rock, out of a flint rock, I feel something starting to build in my spirit right now. You see, you may be in a hard place, a difficult place. You may be in a place that is impossible, but God gives us a message out of this, that even in those kinds of places, He can cause something to flow out of impossible, hardened places. We were preaching a revival service somewhere north, south, east, or west of here, and it was a hard environment. It was those old timers that had been through enough life. It took a whole lot to touch their heart. But as I was preaching, and I knew it, I said, God, somehow in this service tonight, I want you to let me see a few tears start to trickle out of hearts that are so hardened by life. There were great people, awesome people. It was just that they were stoic. Life had forged them in the fire, and their heart was rockened. But I said, God, if you'll just let me see a tear or two, I'll know that you're working deep inside that heart. Sure enough, I watched him out of hard places. I watched tears begin to flow as God softened and made something flow. The drugs have not robbed you of your humanity. The drugs and the alcohol has not robbed you of your tears. I'm going to take a step. The mind-altering pharmaceuticals haven't either. I was preaching in a church, and there was absolutely no, this means you may be seated in preacherism, preacherology, the study of preaching. I was preaching, and I felt the Holy Spirit deal with me that there was so much, there was so, an accumulation of mind-altering pharmaceuticals in several of their bodies that they could not, they wanted to, but they could not respond. And I said, Lord, I'm going to reach into Deuteronomy chapter 3, and I'm going to bring out a promise, and I'm getting ready to speak it, Lord. Out of a flint rock, things flow. Oh, come on, church, child of God. Don't ever think you're too, you're past soft, the soft stage. That's right, it's been 39 years, and I'm so grateful that even this morning I felt the well of emotion and heart come up inside me as I thought about the goodness of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to skip a few because I've gotten beyond my time almost. Exodus 17 and 6 talks about this same concept. Numbers 20 verse 11 talks about water coming out. Go ahead and read that one, my brother.
And Moses lifted up his head, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also.
We know that one side of this account is Moses stepping beyond the command of the Lord. And there was consequence for him individually for that. But notice what happened. He said that when he struck it twice, disobedient act, it did not stop. In fact, Moses, who is writing the book of Deuteronomy, is so moved to include a word he hasn't used yet concerning this. Here's the word he used: flowed abundantly. They not only had enough for themselves, there was enough water for all of their livestock. My God. Somebody else's disobedience doesn't stop the water from flowing. I've come needing a drink today. And if somebody else sits on it, that's all right. You can get up there and get you a drink of living water. Woo! Aren't you thankful today? Are you thankful for living water? Isaiah 48, 21, the prophet also talked about how God caused waters to gush out. Pardon me. Although these experiences of Israel of drinking natural water that flowed out of a natural rock happened naturally to them, it contains this wonderful message of the church, for the church, because Paul brought it into the Corinthian church's teaching. He wants us to know today, impossible things are not beyond the scope of the flow of the water. Oh God. The flow of the water. It doesn't matter how difficult that a church service gets. or how difficult your prayer meeting gets, or how difficult our walk with God gets, there is still the possibility of a flow of the water of life. Hallelujah. But something shifts beyond just water. In Deuteronomy 32:13, notice very carefully what God says about the rock.
He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock.
Not only did water flow out of that rock, but now we're told two other things come out of that rock. Honey and oil. What? You mean there was bees building hive in the rock? It's a kind of spiritual rock. It's pointing to a spiritual rock. Honey in Scripture, time will allow me to qualify this entirely, but honey in Scripture is a symbolism of the grace of God. Not only was living water, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit experience in the rock, but grace was in the rock. And not only water and honey, but there was times they needed oil. There wasn't enough olives growing in the desert for 39 years and 4 months for them to have olive oil. Do you know where the olive oil came for the candelabra? Huh? You know where the oil came? You know where the oil was? When they needed oil, it came running out of the rock. When there was sickness in the camp and they needed a healing agency, you know what came out of the rock? Wasn't water, wasn't oil, it was honey. Yeah. Woo! You see, everything is in our spiritual rock. What's his name? Shout that name, love that name, believe the name of Jesus. There's water in the rock. There's honey in the rock, my brother. There's oil in the rock. I know I'm yelling, but I'm excited. See, water's eternal life. Let's start over here, and let's just say eternal life. We got to start over here and go back. God forbid that I would stand here and take my last breath. But if that were the case, I've done taken a drink. Let me say it like my daughter used. I took a drink. That was pre-first grade. I've already taken a drink of something that transcends natural life. See, it's higher than natural life. It is spiritual. And I got it out of a spiritual rock. The life that flows out of that spiritual rock is spiritual life because it's a spiritual rock. I cannot tell you how. See, I never made it to the altar September the 6th, 1987. I never made it to the altar. I was in a block building. Y'all got a few moments? Do you have a few moments you can give me? 12:23, if that clock is right. And y'all normally get out at 2:30, is that right? Only if we pass out donuts, right? It was a block building. It was a cacophony of sound. Sound was reverberating. Headache. And the preacher that night, it was a storefront building. I was number 5 in the building. And the preacher started preaching, God can deliver you today. Something started happening. happening in my heart. I can't tell you how, sitting on that wood slatted pew with tears of repentance trickling down my face. Brother Long may not remember, but we were in youth camp together. Remember it? West Fay? And I was raised Pentecost, but I had wandered out. And when those tears started running, I knew what was about to happen. Jesus is touching my heart. And I remember the preacher telling me, he only has promised you one touch. Anything beyond that's grace. He's never promised to touch you twice if you don't respond the first time. That was going on. So as I was sitting there on that pew, I started repenting. And all the stuff started coming out. Hatred, venom, and all of the stuff that sin had done. And I cannot explain to you how that moment of repentance, less than 5 minutes, it all came out. And then they baptized me in Jesus' name. When I came up out of the water speaking with other tongues, I can't tell you how that works. How does that deliver this? But he promised it in his word that if I'd obey, not really knowing how to explain it, it worked. In Psalm 81, verse 16, he mentioned it again. The psalmist now is confirming Moses.
He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee.
See, there's something in that rock that you need today, that I need today. I need a sustaining, reviving experience of the waters of life. My wife is at home today, unable to come. She needs a healing in her body. What she really needs is honey in the rock. There may be someone here this morning. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to stand and even give you an invitation to come, and just as a statement of faith, to come around this altar area. But you may be coming with a lost purpose. I don't know what to do next. I don't know my purpose anymore. Then I've got great news for you today. There's not only water and honey, but there's oil in the rock. You see, in under that covenant, they would pour the oil and a purpose would come upon the person. But not only oil for purpose, oil for light, a direction in life. You see, you don't have to stumble. Do you see? You don't have to stumble around in life. No. You've got a source in our spiritual rock. Every time the lights start to go out on your mind and your understanding is darkened, all you got to do is pray on through again. Get the oil flowing again, and light will burst out. Clap your hands if you believe in the oil of the Spirit. If you believe in the oil of the Spirit, would you consider clapping your hands? Please stand with me as we begin the time of invitation to come and be transformed through faith. I'm going to invite you to say that out loud so that somebody around you can hear it. Everybody say, through faith. Through faith, you see. Oh, I want some more evidence. We could preach about that evidence. But the gospel is so designed that participation is required in order to experience. I cannot just experience, what is it, by proxy. You know this word? I can't experience it firsthand through secondhand words. I've got to experience it on my own. I got to be there. I got to show up. And then I can experience it on my own. Hallelujah. What's the water for? Eternal life. What's the honey for? Internal and external healing. And what's the oil for? Anointing for power and purpose. I don't know where everybody is this morning. Where is it? I almost preached that this weekend from the first question of the 10 great questions of the first few chapters of the book of Genesis. God's first question was, Adam, where are you? Does God not know where I am? Oh, he knows where we are. But where am I? Where am I in life? Where am I spiritually? Where am I in relationships? I want you to know this morning that there is a spiritual rock. I need you to know that there is a spiritual rock. And the psalmist said it this way, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me. You see, when you get overwhelmed, you don't always know your way. But if you get overwhelmed and you're willing to surrender to somebody's hand of love, you can sing that song. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Isn't that wonderful? You may be overwhelmed. The person beside you may not be in that at this moment. They may need you next week to say, hey, I want you to go with me. Let's go to the rock together. My God, oh, I feel the unction of the Holy Ghost here right now. He's working inside you to help you take the step. But if you need somebody to maybe kind of help you and lead you to it, then you just say, my heart's overwhelmed. Slip your hand in their hand. My heart is overwhelmed. Go ahead and lead me to the rock. And they will be so kind to take you by the hand. And they'll come. You'll just come together. Isn't that beautiful? Just come together. Hallelujah. Every head bowed. Lord Jesus, we're bowing our heads together in the house of the Lord. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee today. Oh, Jesus, I'm asking you, when I release this great congregation to come, that there will be every heart willing to be led to the rock, to be led into your presence. I ask this in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Everybody said, in Jesus' name.